In the past century, around 1,600 people have gone missing in the national parks. Most who go missing are usually children under mysterious circumstances, almost like they vanish into thin air. Some theorists, like David Paldies, the author of Missing 411, suggest the reason these people go missing is because of cryptid animals like Bigfoot or even alien abductions. Hello and welcome, I'm Hayden, and in this episode of The Case File, I deal with the missing persons case of Dennis Lloyd Martin and some possible explanations to the case, and then go into more detail about where all these people go.
Every Father's Day, the Martin family, the extended family, would go to Spence Field.
Father's Day weekend, 1969. It was a special time for Curtis Martin, now being the patriarch of the Martin family. It was time for him to lead his sons and grandsons to go on a hike in the Appalachian Trail on the Smoky Mountain National Park. This had become a cherished tradition for the family, and it was something everyone was looking forward to, especially little six-year-old Dennis, which it would be his first time doing an overnight camping trip. The first day went well without anything going wrong. After packing up camp on the second day, the group began to walk down the trail. Around 4:30, the elder Martins began to hear about a plan formed from the children to go up ahead and scare the adults. Being fun-loving people, the Martins just pretended not to hear the conversation. However, one thing the adults did notice is that the older boys wanted Dennis to go around another way so he wouldn't blow their cover. The reason for this is because Dennis had a bright red shirt on, and it would make them stick out in the wilderness. Curtis and his son saw the boys go up ahead, and little Dennis was going around the same way as the older boys, but just a bit behind them. But all within sight of the older boys, Curtis and his son. The adults came up to a bush, and the three boys jumped out and quote-unquote scared them. All except little Dennis. Well, everyone just brushed it off as Dennis just not having the timing on the joke quite right, as he was just sitting there with the other boys. But things quickly took a turn for the worse when Dennis was nowhere to be found.
Camp. They hatched the idea of going and scaring the family who were setting up on this hill. The three boys scared the family, and Dennis never showed up.
Dennis's father quickly became worried and started calling his name and began to run the 2.9 miles back to the previous campsite. As this was going on, Curtis and his other son began searching the nearby woods and near Anthony's Creek. When they all eventually met back at Spence Field, they all turned up empty-handed, and it was beginning to get late. Just as they were going to the park services at 7:30, it began to storm. This storm will be crucial to the search because it will wash away some of the scents and tracks during the torrential downpour. That night, the park rangers began to plan a search party, calling up expert trackers and other local mountain men. The next day at dawn, the search party had expanded quite a bit. It included all park rangers, staff, and county search teams, along with anyone who wanted to help. Now is a good time to describe how a search like this is conducted. This particular search was carried out with a local expert leading a team of five others, and these people would have a 10-by-10-mile square to search. An important aspect is how you call for the missing person in question. It may seem small, but you don't know what this person has gone through. In this specific case, the searchers would have likely called out Dennis's name and then their own and explained how they were there to help him. Now that we have an idea of what these people would have said, we can get back to the story. From dawn until dusk, these groups searched and came up with nothing. The next day, the search teams were made larger, with close to 1,400 people now searching.
They amassed a whole lot of people, hundreds and hundreds of people, the U.S. Army with big Chinook helicopters. The second or the third day of the little boy missing, there were 1,400 people at Spence Field. That just does not work. It messed up all the tracks. If you're a tracker, that's the worst thing for you to do.
Including backwoods huntsmen, Boy Scouts, and they even got permission to use about 13 Green Berets from the local military base. But even with all these people who were helping, Dennis was unfortunately never found. However, that was not the end to his story. That same day Dennis went missing, Harold Key and his family went hiking near Sea Branch, which is also part of the park, and is approximately 7 miles from the spot where Dennis went missing. The story goes that Harold and his boys were going on a hike of their own. However, Harold heard a blood-curdling scream, and shortly after, the boys spotted what they thought was a bear. However, it was a very hairy man who was peering at them from behind a tree and clearly did not want to be seen. However, when he realized that he was spotted, he sprinted off in the direction of where the family's car was parked.
They heard a little boy scream. The father knew what he saw, this dirty man, from where the sound of the little boy. He referred to him as disheveled, and the guy ran. And the guy got in the van and drove off at a high rate of speed. So I don't know if that was Dennis, you know?
Approximately 20 years later, a ginseng hunter came forward with a story at around the same time after Dennis's disappearance. He said while hunting in the area between Cade's Cove and Sea Branch, he found the bones of what appeared to be that of a child in a red shirt. His reason for not sharing this information is his ginseng hunting was illegal and he did not want to get in trouble. However, when it was reported, around 30 park rangers went out to the spot but found nothing. This case has a lot of interesting theories, but the one that I would like to focus on is the most prominent and the one Dennis's father is a proponent of. This theory says that the man seen near Sea Branch kidnapped and then killed Dennis some point between Spence Field and Sea Branch, and it is also supported by the remains that the ginseng hunter supposedly found in the woods and accounts for what happened to the remains of Dennis. This case is still unsolved, unfortunately, and probably will never be either. This story is one of thousands in the past century of people going missing in the national parks, and will be a continuous event until whatever is doing this is stopped. As I mentioned in the beginning, there are many different theories about what is taking these people. Some say it's simple abduction cases, others say it's aliens or Bigfoot, or even government agencies. For me personally, I believe it's a combination of two. The first one being human abduction, as national parks are usually secluded places where such an event could take place. The other would be Bigfoot, but not just that, other cryptid animals. These cryptid animals are usually just animals people think are real, like Bigfoot, Yeti, or even the Mothman, but haven't been proven to exist. But anything that deals with mysteries, there's not one right answer, and anything is really possible. Finally, I want to play a clip of an interview from Dwight McCarter, the man you'd been hearing throughout this piece. He was the lead tracker on the Dennis Lloyd Martin case, and it continues to be his only unsolved case to this day. He's the man who knows more about the Dennis Lloyd Martin case than anyone besides Dennis himself.
He's never been spotted since. For every year that the remains lay in the woods, the Great Smoky Mountains Park layers up 1 inch of debris. And Dennis is lost in 69. How many inches is that? This is 2017. Where would you look, you know?
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Case File, and be sure to stay tuned for more to come right here on 91.3 WHJE.